Welcome to Accounting High.
The hardest part of the whole merger was merging our tech stacks. Everybody keeps asking me, how's it really going? Not to tell me how it's really going. It's going great.
Was there anything in the cons for you?
No, I did ask. I was like, how are we going to fight? I don't like to fight. I'll stand up and fight. But how do you fight when you
asked an honest question?
I did. And men and women fight differently. I want to also make sure that one's going to work personality-wise.
May I have your attention, please?
Welcome to Accounting High. It's freshman year at a brand new school. Here, we have no rules in place as we're on a mission to set our own traditions. So hang tight and learn with us as we grow. Whether you loved high school or you hated it, here's your chance to be a part of an unforgettable experience redone. While you're here, don't forget to follow us so you don't miss out on any new episodes. And feel free to leave us a 5-star review letting us know how the school year is treating you. So sit back, relax, and open your mind because class is in session.
I repeat, may I have your attention, please?
This is another public service announcement brought to you in part
by Accounting High.
The views and events expressed here are
of the next generation of accounting and tech professionals leading this space.
The events and suggestions are not to be taken lightly. Children should not partake in the listening
of this podcast.
Anything else?
Yeah.
So without further ado, introducing the star of our show,
Scotty and Miss Walker.
We're going to have a problem here.
That's awesome. Now that I know Alex Miles, that intro's even better.
Isn't it even better?
Yeah, that's she's awesome.
She is awesome. Shout out to our first ever front office lady. I am so happy to have you on today, Amy. For our audience, this is the wonderful, the illustrious Amy Walker of Walker. She's the Walker and Walker Glance. She's probably also the Walker and Walker Texas Ranger.
On a good
Amy,
day.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You are in Texas, so
all day every day.
And when we were last together on the cover of your phone, I thought that was your husband. That is the real Walker Texas Ranger. He's not really the Walker Texas Ranger, but why don't you tell our audience that story?
That was the king. That was Mr. George Strait, and the king of country music.
The king of country music. So, yeah. I thought it was a picture of you two together, too. I thought it was a real person. I found out afterwards that it was just a cutout that you were standing next to. Is that right?
He's got a lot of tequila, and they have those in the Mexican food restaurants around here. So every time I see one, I have to take a picture with
it. That's hilarious. I love it. So, Amy, today I'm so happy to have you on. We're going to be talking about partnerships on a lot of different levels. We're going to talk about real-life partnerships. We're going to talk about tech partners and everything. And speaking of partnerships, I got an unprovoked voice memo this morning from your partner at your firm.
Okay.
Out of nowhere, 9:19 in the morning, I get this awesome voice memo. I'm going to play it because it's also listener feedback. So you'll hear. He had no idea that you were recording with me today at all.
Oh, awesome. Let's hear it.
Yo, what's up, Scotty? Man, I gotta say, dude, I was road tripping to my house in Rhode Island. I had about like 30 hours to kill on the drive, and I spent the larger part of that 30 hours listening to Accounting High. I wanted to say, man, this is the best accounting podcast I've listened to. Seriously, high quality content and guests, super inspirational. I feel like I've been kind of in a rut and. This podcast has just been really uplifting, just really cool to see what other people have been doing in the industry. I'm impressed. So congratulations on what you built. I'm excited to see Accounting High continue to grow, man. It's been awesome stuff. Thank you.
Man, I cried when I heard that. That was awesome. Man, I love Paul. He's so dope.
Yeah. You should take that as a high compliment. He has high standards.
He does.
He does. And so that's a good compliment that he took time in his day to leave that. So
I know. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. So that meant a lot to me just to know somebody's paying attention. Somebody's like, because I've been putting a lot of work into this. So getting the listener feedback is so fun. And shows do that. They play the listener mail and mm-hmm. stuff. So I felt like I should be doing that anyway. And you just happened to be on recording with me today. So what better time to share that?
That is true cosmic synergy right there.
Isn't it? Isn't it? We're all on the same level. So speaking of partnerships, you guys are in sync, though. It's a partnership. You guys are running together. Walker Glantz, I love the branding. I knew you both before you guys were partners. I don't think I knew you both, though. I knew of you, mm-hmm. the Amy Walker, and I knew Paul from a chance encounter through Gusto, but we never actually met like you and I. And then I see Walker Glantz that same year. So this was back in 2021. Is that right?
We started planning it in 2021. Actually, I got a screen grab from one of my clients today. A year before we merged, I met with Paul and Dan Luthy in Austin. And Dan was kind of, we brought him in. We trust Dan. And we just needed him to kind of be a mediator just to say, would this work? You know, let's just start throwing things around. I took a picture with my client. I went to happy hour with my client afterwards, and they sent me that picture today. They were like, this was exactly 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I heard about this meeting, and Dan actually told me this whole story. And
yeah.
And speaking of Dan, shout out to Mr. Luthy, because he's our woodshop teacher, and he's going to have his own show on the network.
Oh, my God. Class. I heard like a teaser of that. That's
ooh. Good. So yeah. You're going to be on it. You're on his list of people that he wants to talk shop with. So right. We're not going to give too much away. We're not, because I don't like talking shop. I don't like talking about the details. Like, I like talking about the bigger stuff. So this is going to be a practical show that I don't have to interrupt and get like bored with. But most people, everybody loves that stuff. Like, that's... Yeah. That's what I, you know, sometimes I like that too, but there's always like Dan's so much better at it. He's been great anyway. Like, his episode was amazing on this show. If anybody hadn't heard it, he's a shop guy anyway, though. He's like a woodworker. So it kind of fits perfect into the play on like shop class, talking shop. It's going to be great. So that's just a little teaser for that, for the listeners. So you guys ended up like figuring something out. Now for the audience too, this is, it still makes sense, especially somebody out from the outside looking in. He was a tax guy, and mm-hmm. you're a cast girl, mm-hmm. right? So what you're doing is taking both of your strengths and making them stronger by uniting. Yeah. This is like the Avengers. I've talked about this in the past before, of like the firms making each other stronger too. So this is now 2 years later, right? Or about a year, 2 years?
July 1 was 1 year.
That's right. Okay. July 1, but it was like 2 years from that meeting.
Exactly.
From that, like where the idea sparked, right?
Yep.
Honeymoon's over, presumably, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now we're into the real, the grit. This is like this is where it starts to get hard and also like real. Like, obviously everything's real. So give it to me straight with everything. Let's just start with, how did you get into accounting? Now I'm like going backwards. I just wanted to set the stage. Now let's talk about Amy. Yeah. First,
I know your history. You're a son of a CPA. I'm a daughter of a CPA and a niece of a CPA and a cousin of, I mean, like a whole family of nerds. And I tell this story that was the last thing I wanted to do. But when your mom and dad are footing the bill for your education, they get a say so. And my dad actually let me throw around the idea of becoming a drill team director for a while. Remember, I told you.
Yes, you
that's
did.
That's what I'm going to be at the high school.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah. You're going to have the drill team at Accounting High. This is what we also talked about.
Exactly. And he said, all right, you can do that. And he gave me some different options. He said, or you can go to business school, get an accounting degree. And then that was the end of the conversation. I went to the business school, got an accounting degree. And went that traditional path. It was just, he was right. He laid out a good reason for it. And 10 years after I graduated, slogged through public accounting, I went back to him and I said, you know what? You said you will always be able to take care of yourself. You will always be able to have a job. And you will find your place in this accounting world where you find meeting. He was totally right.
Yeah. You're seeing that now. You've been shown the light.
But at the time, man, I did not like it. I did not like it one ounce. PwC was just, It's the same that it is now. It's just a machine. And you just get in there and you fill your role.
But was it in your blood? That's what, you know, some people are just born to do something like this. It just comes easy. Like for me, I was born to do this. And I know one of my kids was because the way that they are as kids. Mm-hmm. Were you born to do this? Was things always organized with you? Like, were you, do you have those types of accountant traits?
Yeah, man, I thought it. I didn't think it was cool. And,
you know, we can make it cool. Like, that's, I think that's we the have. Thing. It's the perception. You said a family of nerds, but I have a family of accountants, and I think they're pretty cool.
And I'll tell you, too, my dad was the first in his family to go to college, and it changed the trajectory of his family's legacy. And then he convinced his brother to get an accounting degree, his brother-in-law. And that's how, I mean, my dad was the coolest guy. And he loved to sail. He loved the ocean. And if he knew that he could run his accounting firm from a sailboat, it would thrill him to death. He just, you know, he was kind of a pioneer in what he wanted to do. So that creative accountant mind, maybe now I've grown into it being cool.
That's what technology enables. Cool.
Yeah.
Technology makes it cool.
In technology, my dad always bought the first of everything. The PlayStation, you know, the big Apple suitcase with the screen that was this big.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gave me that love for technology. He always wanted, I mean, he didn't care if that computer cost $5,000 at the time. He wanted it because he had that same mind of, let's do it faster. Let's figure out a better, more modern way to do things.
Oh, well, that's a good analogy to what's happening right now, because I'm getting Apple's VR set, and that's almost $5,000. That's going to be big. So, I mean, that's how Apple does, though. They make things cool. They take things that already existed and make it cool. That's what they did with the color computers. I remember I was in high school when we had a tech lab. Yeah, I think it was like the tech lab.
Yeah.
Had all Apples, all Macs, so it made it very appealing.
The colored round and back.
All the different colors, too.
Yeah.
There was a purple, the orange, and a green. Like, I remember what the room looked like based on the colors. I could tell you where each one was. That goes into my OCD color type things, but I remember where each color was in the room, too.
Yeah,
that's like my photographic color memory. So you went into accounting. And it was like, was it a means to an end? Was it just like, I've got to do something, so I'm doing this?
Well, I did like the path of it. When you get an accounting degree, you know what your path is. You know, accounting, it was Big Six at the time. Do that for a few years. If you don't like that, go into industry. And so I liked the path. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my kids are recent college graduates and both had a path. There is something that, I didn't even know it at the time, but there's something, just ease of mind knowing I know what I'm supposed to do. If I'm a teacher, I take my job as a teacher. You know, more liberal arts degrees, things like that, you don't have such a defined path. So, I did what I was supposed to do. And it was fine. Like I said, public accounting was hard. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I am not smart enough to do this. But
Or it was just like, did the people you were with make you feel like it was over your head?
I just think the overwhelm of, I've never seen anything like this, taking what you learned in theory and putting it into practice. But I got put on a big oil and gas client, and we were out there 9 months out of the year at that client's office. So it just so happened to be a bunch of people that were just a little bit older than me. We all went to the same school, so it was fun to be together.
Were you like on the audit team?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
The best lesson I learned out there, you know, you audit AP for months.
Yeah.
I would go to this accounts payable department. It was a whole floor. And I'd go up to these ladies that had be sitting there and just processing AP all day long. And I'd ask the dumbest questions. And this one lady was nice enough in a sassy kind of way that she just sat me down and she said, "Girl, I have seen so many auditors come through here. I'm going to show you how AP is done." And it made sense then. Like AP to a 22-year-old, what does that mean? But when you see somebody doing all day, stacks of invoices.
It's just a theory. It's just somebody writing it on paper. You need to see it to learn it. That's what I've learned all through life is if I can do something and see something in real life, that's when I learn. I don't learn anything in a classroom, which is so ironic because this is a high school. This is a school. And honestly, you learn everything by doing. So I'm just talking to people that are actually doing it. Like,
yeah,
there's no theory here. It's real life. And that's how you learn. That's how you get your experience. And that's how you can make your mistakes. So, but this was like, to you, you remember the details of the people working there. And so it was a real life situation. You weren't there just for the job. You probably chatted with her a little bit too. And
sure.
Like had a good time. Like that's what you were kind of in it for. I'm sure that's what made you keep coming back. If you got to spend 9 months there, you better get to know the people there too and be colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the summertime, if you're on those big jobs, they'll say, okay, in the summer, you can pick something outside of oil and gas if you want to go do. And I would always pick the small businesses. And talking about seeing to learn, it helped me understand it because I could see it from beginning to end. We didn't just audit accounts payable all day. We would take the whole balance sheet and audit it. So that's where I found my jam with the small businesses. And then left and went and worked for one. And then it all started clicking. That groove that my dad talked about, it was in small businesses.
You started seeing the bigger picture and how you can impact a business owner. You could have impact on their lives at the firm or at the audit. Who are you impacting? How do you feel like you're having any impact at all besides like the conversation you had with the girl in payables?
Yeah.
I don't know if you did anything to help her. She helped you.
She had more of an impact on that.
Yeah, she had an impact there. Yeah.
She got me out of her way faster.
Right. And so, but now you're experiencing this whole life-changing way of looking at this. Like this is now, I'm helping somebody else better themselves too. Like you, so you see this not as just a means to an end, but as a way to help people.
Yeah. Before we hit record today, I was telling you about my client I was with.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She took a chance on me 7 years ago. I went out on my own, and she wasn't desperate, but she was mad at her current firm. We clicked. We built this beautiful friendship. She's running her business. She's fearless. I told you she's a unicorn.
Yeah.
She wants to do big things, but she'd always come back and say, Amy, you know, does that make sense? Then most of the time she'd do it anyways. But I felt like I really helped her. And then fast forward here 7 years later, she sold that business to two of her employees and that's her legacy now. And it was interesting to see it from the very beginning. She had no idea how much she was helping me. And then in the end, we helped each other and to have this beautiful friendship.
So, and that's like, to preface all of this, you just had spent the day with her.
Like, I did.
And this was 7 years later. She's still a client. You guys are still friends. And that was that's wonderful. That's great to hear. Cause that's like, she's inspiring you in a lot of ways too.
Mm-hmm.
Like
we always,
you're helping her. So it's like a mutually, it's an awesome friendship. What were you going to say?
We joked over the years that we call each other, you know, I'm your yin, your yang or whatever. I'm the flower, or she's the flowers and I'm the rain, and you need both to make them grow, that type of thing. So yeah, she's a neat lady. I got kind of a little teary, you know, when she closed her business and I said, I'm going to really miss you. You know, we have been through a lot the last 7 years. She goes, I don't think I'm not going to go do something else. This is just mind space to go create something new.
The next beginning.
Yeah.
Her next feat. So why do you call her a unicorn?
She's fearless. She's unlike any other business owner I've ever known. She's got these wild ideas. I mean, here's a great example. She comes to me, she says, hey. So she owns this really cool retail boutique. And if you know retail boutiques, they're kind of mainly hobbies. They don't make a lot of money. Well, this lady over the last 20 years has had a very successful business in Houston. She defied the odds. And she calls me one day. She goes, hey, I'm going to buy this Airstream. And we're going to retrofit it. And we're going to have pop-up parties in it. And it's going to be awesome. It'll pay for itself in the first year. She's doing things like this all the time. I said, hey, let's look at cash and let's talk about that. And I said, we'll have put it on the agenda for our one-on-one next week. So we get to the one-on-one and she's like, hey, I went and picked up that Airstream this weekend. You're going to be seeing the money come out of the account. That's why I call her a unicorn.
That's just fearless too.
She's fearless and she's right most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great to have somebody in your life that inspires you to do things too. Cause I'm sure, you know, other people do see you as a unicorn. I see you as a unicorn.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah. And in this space, you know, this is, you're doing things and you're out there, like you see a lot of beautiful things in other people. Like everybody you talk about is in a positive light. Any interaction I've had with you, you have nothing but good things to say about everybody. And that's something that you want to have more of in your life, because there are people out there that are just negative and have nothing but bad things to say about everybody too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, immediately when I met you, it was all nothing but showering love on other people. Paul is, tell me about Paul, like as a partner or as a business owner, because you shine nothing but love on him and you get that back too. You get that back from him. He looks up to you. I wanted to have him on. So, but he said he'd rather just like kind of be in the background and listen. And he's like we went on with the voice messages back and forth this morning. So he didn't want to be on. He wanted to be able to listen to it too, which is so cool. So we get to talk about him and we know he'll be listening.
Yeah, he will. He's awesome. And boy, you described him to a T. He does not crave the spotlight. If I could get us to a point as a firm where he spends his days in his tax world creating the masterpieces that he does, I mean, he's so brilliant. And he really enjoys the tax discipline and saving people money, figuring out great strategies. If that's all he needed to do all day long, he would be happy in the clam. But we met, we were both on Intuit's accountants council. And I tell this story that they sent us next to each other and said, hey, y'all are both from Texas. Why don't you sit next to each other? And you just played Paul's voice. You know he's not from Texas.
I know at all. First time I met him, I'm like, were you from New York? Like, you can hear that on the episode too. I heard him, first time I heard him talk, I'm like, wow, like this is awesome. Are you from New York? Like, and he was defending QuickBooks at the time too on the episode, because it was the Intuit or the Zero versus QuickBooks episode, and yeah. He comes in railing for QuickBooks, you know, with the and he was like Connecticut, right after New York, he was like, well, Connecticut. And I was like, yeah, close enough, but yep. It put you next to him as the Texas person, which is ironic in and of itself because he lives in Austin, right?
Yeah, he does.
And you're lives Houston. How far is that?
It's 2 hours.
Yeah.
So we had a code name for our merger before it was announced. There's the highway that connects Houston and Austin is Highway 290. So we called it the 290 collaboration. That was our secret name
for it. The code name, the 290 collab. 290. So I love that. I got another number story, but I'll save that for later. Which is really cool and important to note here is how I was going to get us to 2019 when you got put on the Intuit Council. Because my life changed around 2018, 2017, when I was put on Zero's Council. That's why my loyalty lies in blue. That's why I have a little Zero thing because, and, you know, I don't need to go into why I got into Zero, but I feel like what they did, what Intuit did for you, what Zero did for me is so impactful for your career and for your life to get to really know people that are doing things like you, that are there are other people out there like you. I didn't know anybody like me. Mm-hmm. I was doing things differently in the whole franchise that I was in and locally, and there was nobody doing things like me. And kind of you see it a little bit online here and there, but not really like really get to know somebody. So when Zero takes the people that are doing things differently in the whole country, or when Intuit does that, and they hand select or they pick the people that are going to be on this council, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you don't realize it. How did you find out about it, or how did they put you on their advisor council?
At the time, my account rep said, hey, you may want to look into this. They're taking nominations. I interviewed the first year and didn't get in and thought, oh, well, I need to be on that. So when it came time to apply again, put my application in. I didn't end up even needing to interview the second time. So the lady, Mindy King, that hired everyone, she's fantastic. But you're right. And until you walk in that room, and you see all these other really smart, forward-thinking people, and you don't realize what a big deal it is. And when those engineers want your input, and then you see your input become part of the product, it's career-changing. It really is. It moved my firm forward so much faster.
Yeah. And I don't even talk about the product stuff. When the impact that it had on me was the community that I got out of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the connections there. It's tremendous. And that's not that's even the afterthought. Like the product stuff is great. And that's why you should be on there, because it helps them. But what they're doing and what they're providing you is more value to me, it was exponentially more value than I had to give if I just had to sit in for 2 days, and I don't sit still anyway, but to like input, give input, like I know that that had a big impact on them. I know that it really helps them because they get it through our eyes, mm-hmm. and they need to be able to speak our language because they're not accountants. So no, they learn so much through those advisor councils. So yeah. Any tech person listening, if you don't have an advisor council, you should invest in one. Because firms are investing in them too. I just had an episode with Jody Grunden from Summit, which is now Anders, and they have client advisor councils for their firm. It's genius.
Oh my God, that is genius. I thought you were going to say they have tech advisory for their clients. So they have...
They have their best clients that they hand select. And all their clients are in marketing too. So then they get to bond. So their clients get to form connections and friendships, just like we did with the with our tech partners. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're doing it for their clients. So let's say you had a niche of an industry vertical, and you took five of your best clients. And he said it's a bunny investment too. They're spending money on doing this. They're flying them out, and they're spending a couple days with them to know how they can do better. And then the clients end up finding these bonds too, and building friendships out of that because they're all in marketing anyway. Right. So it's digital marketers or whatever. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, with the client experience becoming the buzz, you know, we've taken advisory and we're just beefing it up by layering this beautiful client experience on top of it. That's the fastest way to get there. I mean, you think you're doing it right, but to see it through your client's eyes, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a great idea.
It's made for bigger operations, of course, because it's a pretty big investment. And, you know, and for some of them, they just give them a couple months for free or something like that, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe it's not as much as I'm exaggerating it to be, but it's still an investment to do something like that. And obviously the returns on that are exponential, he said, you know, the things that they can do better and that they can change and how they can be more impactful for their clients. It's like R&D. It's awesome. So
that's good.
But to our point, like, I'm sure, I know that changed your life. Like, being on that council, that's how you got to know Dan. That's how you got to know Paul. And that's how all that stuff started. That's what kicked off this. So the before and after, why would you even want to merge? Why not just keep toiling away and doing what you're doing?
Mm-hmm. I get asked this question a lot. Why do you want to give up something that was all yours? And I don't look at it as giving up anything. Like, I didn't feel like I was done. I knew I needed to add tax to my service offering, or it would make me be able to get there a little bit faster where I want to go. Paul, same thing. So we come back from council, and because we're both from Texas, we started sharing our clients. And if I knew somebody that needed tax services, I'd pass them to him back and forth. We saw each other's work, and then that just solidified it. I mean, I think the hardest part of the whole merger was merging our tech stacks. We planned it and were so meticulous for an entire year. We hired Julie Sharp and Jason Blummer to come out and coach us through it. Mm-hmm. And by the time we turned it on, it was ready to go. And so we have not had any huge hiccups. There have been no... Everybody keeps asking me, how's it really going? Tell me how it's really going. It's going great.
And I could see it in your eyes. I could see it in his eyes. It's not anything that I have to ask any further questions. But it's still rare, very rare in life and in business. That's why everybody asks again, how's it really going? Because they're looking for a crack, or they're looking for something to make it feel more realistic because they think it can never work for them. Like, you know, like a lot of people are afraid to jump into something like that because they fear somebody's going to turn on them or something's going to go wrong. They fear that. And if you go into it fearlessly, like you did,
I don't
remember that word, fearless.
Yeah. Optimistic.
Optimistically. Yeah. In general, if you have that overall, positive outlook on life, like in general, things tend to just work out anyway in the long term. Like, and if you're putting all you can into it and you control everything that you can in there, you're going to get back what you put in.
I hope so. It's easier to live this way. That's for sure.
And what were you giving up then? If you thought about it and you tried to like put together the pros and cons, everybody asked you, why give up anything? And you never saw it as giving anything up. Was mm-hmm. there anything in the cons for you?
No, I did ask. I was like, how are we going to fight? I don't like to fight. I'll stand up and fight. But how do you fight when you get in a fight?
You asked an honest question.
I did. And, you know, men and women fight differently. I want to also make sure that that was going to work personality-wise. But Paul says it well, like our brains balance each other, and it's the shared values. We both.
Shared values.
Yeah. That's what makes it work. And there are times where we have to compromise and I have to say, you know what? I just trust you on this one. Run with it. He did the same for me. We haven't had a fight. We were just talking about this the other day when we had our first birthday. And I said, all right, what would you change? Do you have a list? And he's like, no, it's good. We do want to keep growing. And we're kind of sitting, you know how when we were at a salon and we were talking about no man's land?
Yeah. I talk about that a lot now. That's been a topic of discussion.
Yeah, we're going to get out of no man's land. We're going to keep pushing forward. And this is a hard phase. I know we talked about it a lot.
It's hard to get out of no man's land. That's what Accounting High is going to be, that four-year journey to get out, because it takes about 4 years.
Yeah.
Depending on when you start, it's a four-year journey, at least.
I'm not into it deep, so don't ask me any questions, but there's that book, 10X is easier than 2X. That's popular these days, and I'm reading it because they say that you can build, you know, a nice, what the world would think, successful firm pretty much on your back with the help of some great accountants. But then you just get to the point, and there are not enough hours in the day to do everything you need to do to get it to the next level.
You need other people to do that, and that cuts into your margins, and it takes time because you got to get the right people in the right seats, and you have to be patient to be able to do that. It doesn't happen quick. To find the right people is long enough too, and then to find, you know, things that you don't know. What you did successfully was you got egos out of the way. When you said, how do you fight, he could have responded with, I don't fight. You know, some people would say, oh no, I don't ever get into fights. Those are the deniers. Those are the people that hold it all in and then passive aggressively fight with somebody, you know. In other ways it comes out where they don't actually acknowledge the fact that they have a disagreement. They just bury it, and then it comes out later in other ways, and then it turns into something real big eventually, right? You got that out of the way at the beginning.
I will tell you, the company before pre-merger, this thing that I built with these women, it was all women working for me. It was so special, and it worked. And I wasn't going to take a chance of ruining it without going in completely honest. But on the same vein, I wasn't happy with, or wasn't satisfied. Happy is a different word. Satisfied with where I was professionally. I wanted to keep moving forward.
Yeah. And what's also great about this is it's very similar to what Kenji and Matthew have as a partnership. I don't usually see them in the same place at the same time. I always see them in different scenes in different places. That's how I feel about you and Paul. Mm-hmm. I've always seen both of you on almost every one of my trips, but it's one or the other.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you guys in the same place, but you're always on the same wave. And the fact that he left me that message this morning, that was crazy.
That's just, that's the stars aligning for sure.
Yeah, so that's all that's like really cool, because you can't have somebody that you depend on for everything. Like, you have to be totally still independent from a partner so you can both be as effective as you can be in your respective areas. I see some people thinking a partnership is we're always together doing everything together, this and this. Like, that's not the case.
Yeah, I can see that though, especially when we were all working in an office together. And mentally, that's kind of comforting too, to say, okay, now I don't have to do this all by myself anymore. Even though it was fine and I can, man, it is a relief. And then when you really start talking details, I mean, counsel's one thing. Different conferences are one thing, you get some great conversations, but when you start digging through pricing, renewing contracts, what's a good hire for this position, and you could like really talk it out. I mean, we have Slack strings that are 50 messages long. I mean, just, but it works, and it's nice. Nobody gets impatient with the other one. It just works. Thank you for the analogy that we're like Matthew and Kenji, because those guys are running a great shop.
They're one of the best rappers alive. Like, everybody's a rapper now. If you're in this space like us, you're a rapper too. because it's running a practice. We're not managing a practice. We're not mapping. We're not cartography and doing that stuff that they used to do. This is what Ron Baker told me. Like, map was the way, like, that was what people were teaching. Map, manage a practice. And there was like a whole curriculum on it. A lot of people are teaching that. We're teaching rap.
May I have your attention, please?
Live flow.
Ooh.
We're going to continue this train of live flow. And we're going to have Terrell come on.
Based on the limitations of the process, if you want faster responses from me, we need to make an investment in a tool.
You recognized there were limitations in the process. And
workflow restraints sheets out of date, creating daily time constraints in case you misplace data, chasing clients as they run away. It's safe to say it only takes a few minutes to copy paste. When you finish, you wasted days as you delicately navigate. You comb through and hope cells don't break and make sure no mistakes were made. Ain't up to date, you changed the date, but now you're in the wrong decade. So LiveFlow came to save the day, upgrade old ways and change the game. The time you saved created space to double your entire client base. No trouble raising your compliance rates, eliminate migraine headaches. They integrate with live updates, so no more copy, no more paste. The data you consolidate stays up to date when not awake. Explain a way to take the same template you made the other day. Just duplicate, don't recreate. They paved the way to plug and play. They elevate amazing ways as they upgrade and iterate. A no-brainer favorite, greatest new cloud-based tool to automate. To give a grade, I give an A, and jobs would say it's seems.
Live flow is just a play on that word, processes. Workflows, processes, live flow, right? So live flow is being inserted in that process to then create an entirely new process that's better too. And that's their product. I think that's beautiful. That's awesome how you did that. We're teaching you how to rap here. We're writing the book on it. How to rap. How to run a practice differently. Because you guys are doing it differently. I think you're still in no man's land. I know based on how I talk to both of you guys, is you're always busy and you're tied to the business. You don't have that freedom. So you guys are on this journey to become better rappers. You're going to learn how to rap. But as we write the book on it, because honestly, the book is still being written by Jody Grunden at Summit, you know, and their team, by Kenji and Matthew at Acuity, by Liz Mason at High Rock, by Michael Lee at Reconciled. Like, a lot of people, we're all writing this together. It's not
you stepped out of the day-to-day, though, successfully.
Oh, I did. I'm one of the writers, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm a rapper. I'm one of the rappers.
So, like, did you just have to make a conscious decision to say, this is the time, I'm giving it up, or was it gradual?
It was a conscious decision and it took years. And then I didn't know what to do with it. Once I got it and once I was there, that's why I started this show, because I needed to occupy my time.
Yeah. We all strive for that inbox zero. And then when you automate that inbox, you got somebody helping you with it and you only have a few messages that are urgent every day versus this many. It's great, and that's what we're striving for, but there's this weird thing that happens. Maybe I'm not doing something I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah, you feel guilty. I went through a couple years of feeling so guilty about everything I'm not doing, but I also stopped checking email altogether.
Yeah.
That was the unlock. That's when I really had the freedom, because I could say I'm not doing anything in the firm, but when my head was in my email and in Slack, then I was still doing everything, because I was still micromanaging this or tagging this person in the email and making sure this person got this. And I was really worried about it. So once we got me a VA virtual assistant, and I got out of my email and I just met with him once a week to go over the things I needed to know from the previous week from my email inbox. Cause otherwise I didn't go in there at all. Mm-hmm. And then same with Slack. So anytime somebody messaged me, he made sure it went to the right person through Carbon. You can assign the email and everything. And nobody ever heard from me via email. I went ghost in email for about a year. I still kind of am, but I kind of look at it sometimes, but I don't pay attention to it like I used to. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different mindset when I go in there now. And that was
Is it nice and tidy for you? Like,
it's not,
or is it,
I mean,
a dust
when I go in there, it's clean, because he still goes in there and cleans everything out. There is still stuff that's probably waiting on me, because I don't meet with him anymore either. So whenever I go in there, there's stuff from a couple months ago that was like, oh man, I probably should have, but he's not like pushing to meet with me. I just never show up. Yeah. That's not cool, but it's nothing falls through. There's never anything that's that important. It's usually opportunities that I miss for the show. Like, people still email me through that email address and it's like, oh, here's a good guest for you, or we'd like to sponsor and stuff like that. But whatever. I probably should start paying attention to that, but that's a different story.
Especially we're not talking sponsorship about this. Funds.
we're not talking about that. And that's our commercial break that we don't have, because I'm not paying attention to that. I got somebody helping with that now, so we'll see. So, like, all of this stuff, you know, you could thank, you can go back to thank Intuit, but you're the one who put yourself on there. You're the one who got in, you know, and Intuit allowing you to do that. So, you know, you should be proud of where you've gotten and what you're doing. Let's talk some numbers at the firm. What were your numbers before you guys joined? And then how about now? So start with revenue, top line. What were you before and how about now?
Okay. One big thing that Paul and I are completely aligned on is our numbers are a private business, but I will tell you that
private
we came in.
Business. Tell me something. Give me something.
No, we had both built a nice book of business that was equal when we joined. And so we were looking at our numbers the other day and we're projected after this first year to increase that book by about 50%. So we feel like that's good. That's all I'm giving.
Hypothetically, you're both at 500. You join, you're at a million, and you're going to be at 1.5 million.
Your math is right.
My math is right.
Your numbers aren't right.
But my numbers are not right. So you were both at a million. You join, you're at 3.5 million. Somewhere in that range, then.
I'm not telling. I'm not saying.
Okay. How about number of employees? How many people did you work with? And and how many do you guys have now for your team?
I brought about 13 FTEs to the table. Paul had, I think, 7. My numbers are probably somewhere wrong. We were about 20.
20?
Including our Philippines team. And then now we are at 28.
Okay. So my numbers were way off. I should have asked that one first. If you already had that many people as you guys going together, that changes a little bit of the forecast or in my head. I'm still trying to figure out these numbers in my head that makes sense to frame the rest of it. But
yeah, I'm
I'll
not
go there.
You,
I'll go guessing. You're not going to get anything from me. I know he's listening too.
Yeah,
I would ask
we don't
him
talk
again.
Numbers.
Yeah,
he won't tell you. I promise you that.
And why is that? Why make that choice?
I don't know. I think it's just who we are as individuals. We know what we want to do. We know that we're in a building phase.
Do you think it'll influence you if you talk about it with somebody else and it'll change what you want?
No, I don't remember when we were at Salon. It was Kila that was saying, I'm intentionally staying small.
Yeah.
That's what, and this is, I'm going to make the best firm for this size. I think that's fantastic when you could say that, but that in no way influences me. Like I will say the opposite. I don't want to stay here. I want to keep moving forward. I'm not ready to say I'm done yet.
You're still growing something.
I'm trying to. Yeah. I know her
mindset because she's where I was. I didn't want to grow the firm anymore. I wanted to grow personally and then grow outside of just that. Like, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I'm doing the raps and stuff because that's what I intended to do. That's what I wanted to do since high school.
Yeah.
I think that's where she's at too. She wants to spread her wings and do other stuff. And that's why she's choosing to remove herself from the business and stay small because you can't do two things at once.
You can't
grow
both.
Two things at once.
Yeah.
If you're focused on growing your firm, Amy, that's what you're going to do, and you're going to do it well because that's where your head's at. That's where your heart is. And obviously, other people's numbers don't matter. I don't really care what your numbers are. It just helps the conversation to look at the scope of like where you guys are at and where you're headed too. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's everybody naturally always has the, I want to hit a million and I want to hit 10 million, you know, or they just stop at a million. That's what happened to me. I hit a million and I was like, hovering at 1.2 forever. And it just, I got stuck at 1.2 million until I got out of the way. Once I got out of the way, that's when the firm started growing. And now it's growing without me. Not a lot, because they don't want to take on a lot of stuff. Like, they're happy with where it's at too, you know?
And are you happy to let that be what it is and experience other things?
Oh yeah, because I'm growing something else now. It's where that's where my whole like focus is now. And I want the firm to be successful. I want them to be happy. I want the clients to be happy, but I don't pay any mind to it unless I need to. So I go into our meetings for like 20 minutes a day and for 4 days a week. And that's about what they get like of me. And they don't want any more. They know how it was on the other side.
They're like, go on.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
Probably people on my team that feel like that. And I always say, look, I know I'm a tornado when I come in the room. And they're, oh, no.
But you can only get better. Like, if you know that and you work on improving that, you can only get better at that. So if you choose to stay in it, you have to find something that you love doing there that you can continue to grow. And I think that's what I didn't do. I didn't choose something within my firm to keep doing. I chose something outside of it. So you got to find the thing that you love, that you want to do when you get out of this thing that you're doing. So back to you and Paul, since this is the subject of the conversation, you guys do sometimes feel underwater in different ways. Like, you know, you're still tied to a lot of things in the business. So you do bring that, like, it's hard to get out of that. Like, what I mean is, like, you're somewhat in that hamster wheel, and you have to figure out what you can let go of, what you can get out of the way next. Because I know for him, it's probably reviewing tax returns, and he has his hand in a lot of that. And in order to get out of that, you got to trust somebody. So what I was going to say earlier is the fact that you trust Paul is why you guys can independently do different things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. And trust the work's going to be done right. Because, I mean, I haven't prepared a tax return in 20 years. I mean, I just trust it's right. Same with us. I mean, he knows good books when he sees them, and we send over excellent books for our clients, but the ins and outs, revenue recognition, special rules here and there for Gab, he could care less. Couldn't care less.
So what about you? What is the thing that you're doing at the firm that ties you to it that you could possibly get out of?
We're about to fire our first non-billable employee. So operations. Yeah.
Your first?
Yeah, we have.
Wow. Out of that size?
Yeah.
That so we're about to hire. That is a big step.
And it's only
that's a margin cut.
Yes, it is. And believe me, we run it in our head.
You're going to make less money. You guys are probably doing very well now because you don't have all that overhead.
It's an investment, and we need it. It's going to. We kept using the word relief. Relief, relief, relief. Because I know that a tenth of me is not as good as somebody that is focused. I'm smart enough to do that. So if the firm's going to get better, if I'm going to have the mental space to figure out what's next, I really, really want to create this academy for people that come to work for us. That's my next WG Academy. Like
teaching.
When you go to work for one of the big firms, you know, first 2 weeks, what do? You go to B-School and you meet people like you. You learn how to be an auditor. You learn how to be a tax professional. You get the rah-rah. You learn how to be, oh, this is my firm and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I want to create something quality like that for us.
Ooh, I love that. So that's to afford yourself that time, you need to hire more than just one operations type person. You guys are going to need a few. But this is a perfect step. And this is the first step that you need to take. My step was I took somebody out of operations that was still working for me. And had them start doing that. And then there was a lot of learning lessons along the way there. A lot. But that was the first person I had. Then we hired somebody outside of it too. So it was sort of like, you know, I had the two people in place that I still have now in as my management team. And I took a large cut because I had to hire somebody else to replace the work he was doing. So, and then hiring another person. So at a certain point, I was making barely any money. And I didn't want to see the end of it. I was freaking out. And then we let people go because I was losing money for a little while too. It wasn't like, and I wasn't doing any work. So I felt guilty on that. Like we had too many people. We had to figure out our operations. We had to get better at stuff because it was a lot of independent people doing independent things. And we tried to turn it into one system. It wasn't that easy. You know, everybody's doing something differently and there was no consistency.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of work and a lot of things that get uncovered as you try to systematize everything and you create the processes for everybody to do things the same way. There's a lot of people that don't like change. So as you go through these changes, you're going to learn lots about yourselves too, as you get out of them. So it's a fun ride because it's a lot more profitable in the end. Like right now.
Okay, so that was my next question. How long did it take you?
I'm making more money now than I was before. Back when I was doing all the work, when I was working 60, 80 hours, I'm doing better now than I was before.
So you've eased out of no man's land.
Yeah.
How long did that cycle take?
About 6 years for me. I want to try to narrow that down to 4 years because Accounting High is 4 years and the high school is 4 years. We're going to try to turn this into a curriculum, right?
Summer
and
school.
Exactly. Everything outside of like the regular classroom. You can learn all the other classroom stuff somewhere. But, you know, this is more of a journey too. I'm still learning. I don't really know everything. I just know what I did worked, and it took a lot of mistakes, a lot of stuff along the way. But my team's happier than they've ever been, and they're all happy with how much they're making. Like, everybody's now, we're working with the end in mind. They know how much I want to make, and I'm cool with what I'm doing. Like, now I can focus on growing something else, and everybody's happy. So you got to find that and work with the end in mind too, because you can't just go into it saying, I'm going to now have this person doing this, and you don't even know what your end game is too. Because that's that's the other thing too. I didn't know what I was going to do after I got out of the firm. I thought I was going to do these big things with the firm, and it was just a whole bunch of getting myself out of the way. That was it.
I think it's brave. I think it's brave to say, I want to stay this size, and then I know I've got some talents in other areas I want to explore. That's very brave. Instead of, I became an accountant, I should stay an accountant, that's my obligation.
But everybody's different, though. Like, that's the thing. But what you have to do is find where you're going to have your impact, and that's what energizes you. And I think for anybody, for you, you're in this for the business owner. Like, you feel energized today, and you spent the whole day with a client. You're you're in awe of what she's doing, and you're inspired to go do more and build your business and grow and become the actual, like, teacher in your firm. You're going to build a teaching platform within your firm, and that's where you'll really get fulfilled, because then you're making, then you're working directly with your team too.
Yeah.
And that's, that's what we all try to do, right? We got to be able to turn into somebody that can inspire others as we become better at our professions. You know, it's, you take that knowledge that you've had in the years that you've been doing this, and then you apply it to somewhere else and something else that you can teach other people how to do that. Because you've been doing this a while. Now you can teach the newcomers, the people that are getting out of school, and they come to work for Walker Glance, and
this is how you do it. This is how you do it the right way. This is how you do it with the client mind. So maybe in the end, I became a teacher after all.
You didn't
want to be an accountant, wanted to be a teacher. Look how you tied all that together so nicely.
Well, that's what we do here. That's and I did it in less time too. This was even before the hour mark. Usually it takes me about 2 hours to tie it all together. We're getting better at this.
I'm succinct, if anything. Yeah.
You are succinct. But you leave plenty of space for the conversation too. That's why, and you get to go back to the drill stuff too, because you're going to do that at Accounting High. You're going to be our drill teacher. See, all we do is fun stuff.
Yeah. Sequence, French. I mean, cowboy hat, and just wait.
This is for real. This is going to be a thing. I'm going to start putting that out there. Anybody that did drill in high school, we're going to have a drill team of accountants.
We will gather them all.
The accountant drill team. We'll
make a fantastic routine.
Yeah.
Just as long as there's sequins and fringe, I'm fine with it.
You still have any sequins and fringe?
I kept one piece from my high school uniform in case I ever had a daughter. We had our pep rally uniform. Did y'all have pep rallies when you were in high school?
Yeah. I think every high school had pep rallies.
I don't know if that was just a Texas thing or not. But I did keep that little uniform, and my daughter, when she was little, played dress up in it, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's dope. And did she do anything like that, drill or anything like that?
She ended up being more of an athlete, and now she's a CPA, so look at that.
Is she working for you guys?
No, she just finished her.
Ooh, that was quick. Yeah.
She needs to go do her thing, be her big career. She just finished 3 years at PwC.
She's doing her initiation now, like everybody else, right?
Yeah, orientation, initiation. She's through, and she's going to work for a new company starting next week. So it's exciting for her.
Dope. Private or a public?
Private.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. It's a big, wide world out there for CPAs. And I always forget about that other side of it, where there's so many that just work in private, but they're, that's their whole world. That's what they know.
And that training you learned, though, in public account, I haven't asked you that before. Did you start in public?
Oh, yeah. I got fired from a lot of jobs, but I didn't last in most of the ones. I shouldn't lead with that, but I have had my experience in public in audit, and it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't conform. That was the thing. I needed to do it. I did end up working for somebody that I bought the firm from him, but he gave me a lot of freedom. I just couldn't do what other people were telling me, because I always wanted to find new ways. I wanted to find better ways, quicker ways.
Faster ways, quicker ways.
Yeah, nobody wanted that, and I was just insubordinate, I guess. Maybe I got in the way. That was it.
I don't know. I just think you're ahead of your time.
And I don't know about
and
that.
And you there found your groove when somebody gave you freedom. That's I remember being a young professional and thinking, I have done this faster than anybody else because I built a macro that'll do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And I'm still having to sit here in this chair until 5 o'clock.
Yeah. I want to go be free.
Yeah. Let me go home. Let me, figure something else or give me something harder to do. I'm glad accounting's progressing a little bit. It work from home helps. But yeah.
You're working from home right now?
Yeah. This is my office.
So you guys don't have an office, or Paul has an office?
He does. I have one for another couple months, but I haven't been there in probably 2 months. There's just no need for it for me.
We don't have an office anymore. We used to.
Yeah. I like the freedom. Oh, you miss it?
Well, here's the thing. I miss being with people. I need to be in the environment with people, and that's why I travel so much now, because I don't have an office. Yeah. So I get to be with people, and I get to get that energy because I get it from other people. I used to get it every day at work because I would see my team and I would see clients. Because clients would just come in. You had an office. They just came in.
Yeah.
For the ones that were local, we had a lot of clients that weren't local. But now, working from home, I didn't get to see anybody in person. And the Zoom stuff is different. You don't get that extra space to have a conversation. Because when you're relaxing, that's when the real conversations happen with people. And you don't have to be anywhere. And that's what I missed, was all that extra stuff. And I'm getting that now when I travel. Because I see a lot of the same people,
my gosh, at this point, isn't it so nice? Salon this year was the first time I had been to something where I knew of people, but with the exception of Dan, I didn't really know anybody.
Yeah.
It was easy, and it was fun to meet a new group and know all these people that you've only interacted with over Slack or Twitter or whatever.
It's so much different, though, but it's the same. You get a fuller version. We talked about that on Alex's episode, because she made a lot of friends through social media that she just is meeting in real life for the first time sometimes. And that's exciting, and you form this long-term friendship with somebody, you know them, but then when you see them in real life, after the initial oh man, what they're going to think of me. Once you get over yourself and you stop worrying about what they're going to think of you, and you can be present and you can be there with them, then it's the best experience. But you got to get over yourself. I think that's the bottom line and everything. Once I was able to do that, that's when I was able to start releasing the wraps too. Because I got over myself. I stopped caring what other people would think about it.
Yeah. You just let the creativity flow.
Yeah. And that's when it's fun. Because then it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It just matters what you think about something. Yeah. Yeah. So
how's your Bucky's wardrobe going?
Oh, it's been expanded. So I talked about this. Now we're just getting chit chatty, but that's okay for anybody that's at this point. Well, so to context the situation, you know of this because Bucky's, right? On the way to accounting salon. So for anybody that hadn't heard the story, they lost my luggage on the way to Atlanta. So I had to fly into Atlanta. It's hard to get to Seaside. So for a group of people, we just went to Atlanta, rented a car, and drove down, and you got to drive through Alabama. And I had a check-in bag. I had a carry-on bag, and they checked it at the gate, and they lost it. Now, I still don't have that bag.
Really?
All my stuff was in it. Yeah, still don't have it. Somewhere in Atlanta Airport. I don't know where. It could have got stolen. Part of it was probably my fault, because I walked from the gate in Atlanta Airport, and that's 2-3 mile walk. So it could have been stolen just from the gate. I don't even know. Don't know where my bag is still. On the way down, I bought a whole wardrobe of clothes because I was going to be there for 4 days, 5 days. And I had never been to a Bucky's. That was incredible. That was bigger than a Walmart, and the sheer size of it. I saw all the gas pumps too, and they were all full.
Full. Every time you pass one, full.
Oh, that is a lot. I couldn't even count how many pumps there are. I didn't even ask. And inside, it was it looked like if a gas station was as big as a Costco, and it just still looked like a gas station. It didn't look like a Costco. Maybe a Walmart. Maybe not as big as Costco. But if you walked into a Walmart and it looked like a gas station, that's what it looked like inside. It still felt like a gas station, still felt like a convenience store, but it was huge.
Huge.
I didn't even expect to find everything I did, but I had found great shirts, like great clothes. I got this Bucky's branded Hawaiian type shirt. And that's what kicked off the Hawaiian shirt trend that now every time I travel somewhere, I buy a new wardrobe for a new music video.
And oh, I for love a new, it.
So each one ends up in the video too. So it's become a trend. Did it in Italy after that, and I did it again in Vegas. So we'll see what's next. The next time I see you, I'll be buying a new shirt for a new music video, maybe.
Actually,
the next music
video
I might be shirtless. This is a well, let me context it. So it's gonna be for the next conference, which is the Unique CPA Con. Mm-hmm. This is Randy mm-hmm. Con, for anybody that doesn't know, in August. And I'm doing a Chili Peppers parody this time for that. And the Chili Peppers, in their video for Give It Away, they're all in silver body paint. The Chili Peppers never wear clothes anyway.
I was going to say, when does the guy wear a shirt?
Ever. So I'm actually wearing a Chili Peppers shirt right now. I may wear this, but still silver body paint mm-hmm. the rest of my arms and like face for it. But yeah, that's the theme of the next one. It's a parody of a parody, and Weird Al already parodied that song. So this is the third version of that. I'm doing a parody of a parody, and it's also going to be just like the Weird Al version, which was the Flintstones. So the Flintstones one was Yabba Dabba Yabba Dabba Dabba Do Now. It's going to be great. So,
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm still like piecing together the cast because I need a cast of characters, because in the Weird Al version, he had four people too. So he did a parody, direct parody of this video. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to do a third version of it, which is not unique at all, but it's called the Unique CPA Conference. And that's what I say to Randy. He's not unique at all. He's just like any other CPA, you know, white male CPA. He's not that unique. So that's the whole point of this. Everybody's unique. Everybody's different. You're unique, Amy. Paul's unique. Everybody is. I am. That's what everybody tells me. But I still just think I'm a regular old, like, accountant, you know?
You are not your ordinary accountant. Not your average accountant.
But your average accountant is special. But sometimes they don't show it. Or they get perceived as nerdy. They may not be. Give them a chance. Talk to them and you find out, oh, wow, this person's real interesting. They got these hobbies or this. This is what John Garrett does all the time. What's your hand? He finds the people.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's a great podcast. No, the nerds have the most awesome hobbies. Most of them are great musicians, or they have some specialty sport that, you know, is not football or something like that. Championship dart player, jousters, things like that.
I'm
with the nerds any day.
Yeah, but that's what makes us great, is because we do have some deep, like, interests and passions and things that we love, and everybody's are different too. Like, for me, it's rap. That's what I've always been paying attention to. And I know that's not for everybody, but the people do appreciate it. Sometimes it's scaling new heights. They loved it. Like, that was just
fun. Yeah, I saw the footage of that. That was good. So when you were younger, like, who was your favorite rapper?
Oh, Eminem, for first and foremost. That was always my favorite. But there was I listened to a lot of Outkast, a lot of Jay-Z. All the parodies that I'm doing are the ones that I listened to growing up. So I did one of DMX, and that's the one we're going to film, and you're going to be in that video. We're going to film video for that in Austin. So you're going to have to come to Austin.
Oh, I'll come see that. Yeah.
It's the Tax Accountant's Anthem. I got to get everybody that lives in Austin together, because this was Paul's idea for this song. So when I was with Paul in January, he said, oh, what you got to do, you got to do the DMX's Rough Riders Anthem. You got to do that one. And it could be the Accountant's Anthem. And I was like, oh, I loved it. I ran with it. And then I changed it to the Tax Accountant's Anthem. And the track is great, but I just don't have a video for it yet. So I'm either waiting for the next opportunity that I'm going to be in Austin, but I want him to be in it. I want Logan to be in it. I want Miguel to be in it. I got a bunch of people that live in Austin. There's a lot of friends in Austin that we can all...
That would be a good crew. Wait and come down like October, something like that, and it'll be nice and cool, and Austin's at its best in the fall. Yeah.
Tax Accountant's Anthem. Now, you're cast, but we can still have a nod to... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to...
You're an accountant.
Buy tacos. Yeah, buy tacos for everyone. Dope. And cheer you guys along.
Right, yeah, you could be head of craft services, right?
It did come up.
Craft services, dope. All right. Well, this is going to be fun. We'll probably do that at some point this year. So thank you for coming on, Amy. This has been a great episode on partnerships on both levels, how we can provide value for our tech partners and how they provide value for us, and how you can have a successful partnership if you have an open mind and you get out of your own way, get your ego out of the way. That's why it's working with you guys. Your egos are not in the way. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Dope. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Class dismissed. Should have played that song that I was talking about. Should I play it now after the like music and the credits?
Yeah.
The, for anybody that's like still listening, I'll play it and then you get to hear the song that Paul wrote. All right? Because you haven't heard this.
No,
this is,
I haven't.
This is the Tax Accountant's Anthem. So this is like the bonus track for anybody that's still listening. You ready? Have you ever heard this?
Ah!
The original?
Something's due! Stop! Don't drop! Your source docs in a shoebox! Oh! No! Taxable income is not cash flow! Stop! Don't drop! Your source docs in a shoebox! Oh! No, taxable income is not cash flow.
Tax clients try and lie. Huh? Tax bros want to comply. Huh? Tax clients whine and cry. Huh? Tax bros go run and hide. Huh? All we know is pain. Huh? Tax season is insane. Huh? We will remain profane with all this tax law on our brain. Huh? Now we file compliance. Huh? Taxes for our clients. Huh? And we remain unbiased when your tax rate is the highest. Huh? Our tax prep is accurate. Huh? You got it? No, you don't get it. Huh? Carry it forward and forget it. That's a non-refundable credit. Huh? Who you gonna run to? The service ran up on you. There should be no issue. When you're truthful, then you're bulletproof. We agree to both taxes. It's so easy, do your own taxes. We see no SE taxes, IRS sees and mo taxes. Nothing we can't handle, facts are circumstantial. It's a systemic issue, now your return is under review. No, there will not abate, your penalty without debate. Cheapskate, we get irate when you underappreciate.
Stop, don't drop, your source stocks in a shoebox.
It's three verses.
Oh, no, taxable income is not cash flow. Stop, don't drop. Your source stocks in a shoebox. Oh, no. Taxable income is not cash flow.
Y'all know tax season's crazy. My employees getting lazy. Stop acting like it's easy. Mind your business, attorney. Y'all think taxes are simple? Well, let me explain something to you. Our parting ways is long overdue. We're just too nice to fire you. Another tax deadline countdown. Watch tax pros have meltdowns. Post-tax season wind down. Office gonna be a ghost town. Oh, you can't get a hold of me? Need a copy of your 1040? We sent that shit already. That'll be $1.50 to print a copy. Oh, you don't know how to read? Get it to me by March 30. Tax due by 4:15. It's too late. You're not early. You trying to buy a home? And you need a loan? And broker just said don't write nothing off? Hell no! Lied to justify your PPP way back in 2020. Try to qualify for ERC, but employees, you don't have any. I don't think they'll ever end this reign of terror. I'm a tax preparer, and I will amend an error.
Stop! Don't drop! Your source stocks in a shoebox. Oh, no! Taxable income is not cash flow. Stop! Don't drop! Your source stocks in a shoebox. Oh, no. Taxable income is not cash flow.
Look at all the returns we started. Asked for info, now we got it. Had it, we should have finished it. Now we got to extend it. Yes, my tax staff is in the U.S. Enrolled to practice before the IRS. We are the tax accountants. We deal with clients and compliance. What info are you waiting for? Get these returns out the door. You elected to be an S-Corp, but now it's April 4th. Return due back in March. 2553 still in the drawer. Have you filed late before? Oh, you only took draws? Now it's time to send your 941X. Grab the pre-printed in red. Yeah, that's taxed by the Fed. Another terrible spreadsheet. We don't cheat, we file correctly. Your tax due don't affect me. F*** a 1099 NEC. 315's when it was due. Got a fax receipt to prove. Is it 23 or 22? I forgot what I needed to do. So in a year's time, you hear this tax season rhyme? Just sign the 8879 and we'll file it on time.
Stop! Don't drop! Your source stock's in a shoebox.
Stop being cheap, mother...
And then the IRS music just plays, the hold music just plays for like 40 seconds.
I know that Paul helped write that by the last word in it.
You did what?
I know that Paul helped write it by the last four words in it.
Oh, he was, we didn't even talk about that. Yeah, his language. I've cleaned up my act. I've tried to clean up my language. It's still hard to keep it in. He doesn't have to. Like, I'm trying to be a little bit more public facing, so I got to watch my language, and my editor doesn't like it either. He edits it out anyway, so.
Oh, but we talked about that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He comes by, honestly. Where he's from, it's just like a connector word.
It is. It's a filler word. We have a lot of filler words. I learned that early days podcasting. So now we can end it. But this was it turned into the tax accountant's anthem. So at first it was going to be the accountant's anthem, and everything was just too broad. And like we were saying, you know, you got CPAs working everywhere, and public, private, everybody's experience is different. But for tax preparers, for anybody that's done taxes, that's their language a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they've been saying. So I got most of the lines came from people on tax Twitter that had real like ranting type tweets and just really popular like sayings and things that they would say during tax season. So I took all that and turned it into a little rap.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, how do you get the people in the background that go, that's all they do? Do they literally just sit there and go, ooh, oh,
no,
and then you repeat it?
You've got to do that. Like you got to do different loops of stuff. Or yes, if you have somebody that does that. See, I just modify my voice a little bit if I need to do that in the background, or I get my daughter to do it. Like that's a little one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I'll have one of my kids. I've been doing raps with my kids now, but that's for another day, another conversation. Thank you for joining me, Amy. I'm not going to play the end music again, but for anybody that listened, peace out.